You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Dear Daisy, a podcast about secrets. Today is June 23rd that I'm recording. You're not listening to this on June 23rd. I could time travel and say that today is June 28th. I am a little annoyed at myself today because I went to my P.O. box and I had a couple of packages and a couple of letters, and I was so excited, and now I can't find the letters. I know they're somewhere. I didn't throw them away, so I will find them. But you know, podcasters, they're just like us. I'm sure they're somewhere. I got a lovely gift from a listener. I don't know if you all remember, but back a while ago, I was talking about that really utterly bizarre Super Bowl halftime show in the 90s that was like a zillion children and like New Kids on the Block, and it was really like very, very, very creepy. One of my listeners was one of the kids, which stands to reason. There were millions of them. So he was one of the kids. And then in another episode relatively recently, I pulled Lakshmi, and he sent me a Lakshmi figurine because she means a lot to him and his fiance, which I just thought was so nice. And he actually ended up sending me two because he thought one got sent back to the sender. So he sent me another. So now I have two. As Kurt said, we have an abundance of Lakshmis, which is hilarious because she's the goddess of abundance. Okay, I don't know what else to say today. There's a letter from a long time ago that I never read because I thought I was going to be doing like a kid's version, but that never happened. So I'll read this one. It's back from nearly a year ago. I apologize. I should have read it when I read that other letter from Secret Cookie about how to set boundaries. Listen, you know, I got nothing. Okay, here we go. Bloop, bloop, bloop. Dear Daisy, I am a 2.5-year-old, obviously now 3.5, that lives with my coolest shit grandma who is your age, because blended families are a thing. Is my grandma ruining me by playing Sublime, Beastie Boys, and the Talking Heads? I think she may be teaching me awesome musical prowess, but my preschool friends are annoyed because I don't only want to listen to Jack Johnson's Curious George album. Please help us find a common musical ground for kids and grown-ups alike. Love your podcast, even though I shouldn't be listening in my car seat. Thanks, Daisy. Well, first of all, I'm wearing my Beastie Boys t-shirt today, so that is fitting. You know, I don't want to yuck your yum. Sublime, we could do without. Just yucky. But Beastie Boys and Talking Heads, no, absolutely not. I have a video. He's not 2.5, but he was 4. I speak of you, my son. But I do have a video. You know what? We'll put it up on socials of Monty really just jamming out to Sabotage with his Aunt Jonan. Today, so Monty is now 11.
Jesus Christ.
And this morning, he was practicing cello. He was teaching himself how to play Mary on a Cross, which is some very strange, like, goth band that Kurt discovered from like the 90s. And he's playing like the Killers on the piano. And I don't think any of this would have been possible if he'd been listening to the Jack Johnson Curious George album, although he was into that shit as well. I was actually just thinking this morning that we were really lucky because Baby Shark came out just as he was aging out of that era. I heard it one time at his preschool graduation. I had never heard it before. It was the stupidest fucking thing I'd ever heard in my life. It's just a bad fucking song. The perspective changes at the end of the song. Like, we're talking about the sharks and then suddenly we are the sharks. It's a terrible fucking song. And it's stupid. And it's heavily gendered. And I fucking hate it. So I was really glad that I got to skip that. You know, I think that you're raising a good human, is my guess. Just maybe not the date rape song by Sublime. You know what I mean? No, fucking rock out with your cock out. You know what I mean? Like, just jam to the tunes. Monty was singing, you know, U2 and Beastie Boys and all that fun kind of stuff when he was very young. And now he's very well-rounded. He still likes to watch the Descendants movie from Disney. Those voices are like nails on a fucking chalkboard. I don't know who cast those people, but every time they open their mouths, I'm like, oh, God, stop it. There are worse things in the world than curse words in art and music. I also have videos of him singing David Bowie, Prince, Cream by Prince. And, a new one comes out in July, Kelly's saying. Great. A new Descendants comes out in July. That's great. That's all we need. What else? Creep by Radiohead. I'm a creep, is what he said. Yeah. I'm so sorry it took me so long to get to this letter, but here we are. Write back and tell me what kind of music you like to listen to now that you're 3 and a half. Have you branched out at all?
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
All right, here we go. Dear Daisy, I've been meaning to write a physical letter into the show, but I think just having the anonymity may be better for me. Also, I felt compelled to write in because I really relate to AD in Love is Blind, because I keep feeling like I get used up despite my best intentions. Some background. Christian gal, divorced in 2020, left in 2018, marriage was a lot. Okay. Trigger warning? I won't get into it, but it included a murdered child, homelessness, and sexual assault. After getting therapy, I had the strength to leave and to be more confident in myself and my worth. Current situation. Ended the friends with benefits situation back in January because he went home and had feelings for a girl he met while visiting. But he didn't admit this until I admitted that I had feelings. So we ended on me saying that he wasn't ready for a relationship. We met on Bumble, and he said he wanted to be single for a while. It was that he didn't want a relationship with me. Went silent on him up until the middle of March, when I happened to text him to check on him. He said he was fine and that he was thinking of me a couple of days previously because he didn't like how things ended with us, aka the last tussle we had. I ignored it and asked about his progress with the girl he had feelings for, and he said he wasn't ready yet. So he's still single, and I said we could still be friends, but only friends, no hanky-panky. My question is, A, why are men? B, I am willing to stick to my boundaries and remain friends, but I also can't deny my feelings. How do I protect myself from being used? What if there's a chance that he may want to be more than friends in the near future? Not just one question, sorry. Thank you for reading. Sincerely, shine bright like a diamond. Okay. First of all, I'm so sorry. I can't even begin to pretend to know how your experiences have impacted you. I mean, I've been homeless and I've also been sexually assaulted, but the other thing is, I'm so glad that you got the strength to leave him. I want to point out that what you said was, I happened to text him. I mean, you didn't happen to text him. You texted him, right? Like, take ownership of that, because I think the only way to, like, not repeat mistakes or do better moving forward is to be fully honest with yourself about what you are and aren't doing, right? And listen, we have all done it. We have all done it. So it's okay. But he's not worth your time, you know? I think you should get rid of his number. Everyone in the chat is saying, this dude is garbage. Block that number, writer. Yeah, Barry says, who, by the way, is a therapist, not for nothing. Do actions that align with your values. Accountability is important that way. If we put ourselves in a passive voice, like saying, I happened to text him, to what you're doing, it's a good sign that we're acting against our own best interest. Right. Like you're trying to sort of put space between. Don't steal my gig, Barry. You're trying to put space between yourself and the action that you know you shouldn't have done. Right. So anyway, okay. Fuck this guy. Don't fuck this guy. You know what I mean? Fuck him theoretically. Fuck him metaphorically. Don't fuck him actually. We all need to pick people who treat us fucking better. We keep doing this, right? I'm going to tell you a story. Shortly after I left my first husband, I met a guy who, I mean, this man, I fucked me so hard when I met him. And it was like, I was really flattered, you know? I mean, I was cute. Don't get me wrong. But I was flattered. And then we started chatting, whatever, you know, it just sort of escalated. He lived in New York. I lived in Los Angeles. We liked, you know, texted. Was that a thing? I can't remember if texting was a thing back then. We like IM'd or whatever we did. And it was, you know, pretty spicy, pretty sexy. And I went to New York, I mean, for whatever, but to fuck him. And I did. And, you know, I used to write letters. Did I write to him first? Oh, yeah, I did. Now, in my memory, it wasn't like flowery. It wasn't about like, oh, I want to be with you. It wasn't any of that shit. It was just whatever, my day. And he wrote back saying that I had put a hook in him and he wanted to come move to LA. I didn't fucking invite him. I didn't say he should come to LA. I didn't even float the fucking idea. He said it. And then, you know, we were very casual. So we were seeing other people. And he told me about this 17-year-old girl that he was waiting until she was 18. So some time passed and my birthday was coming up and I bought him a plane ticket to come see me for my birthday for myself, like as a birthday present for myself. And he started getting weird and, you know, just weird, like men get. Distant, strange, like suddenly sort of cold. And when I called him on it, he told me I was being clingy. And, you know, I was confused. I was like, I bought you a ticket out here so we could fuck. Like, you're the one who said that I put a hook in you. And then it came out that actually the 17-year-old had turned 18. So that was the reason he didn't want to come. Not because I was being clingy, but because he was fucking an 18-year-old. I mean, the number of men in my life who have told me that I was being clingy after we fucked when nothing had changed, you know, except that we had fucked, but like the tone of our conversations hadn't changed, the frequency of our conversations hadn't changed, nothing, just we had fucked. Maybe I'm a horrible in bed and that's all they know how to say to get rid of me.
You're being clingy, but not with your vagina.
Anyway, yeah, there's other dudes. I'm sorry that you're attracted to men. That's so unfortunate. It's such a horrible affliction that so many people in this world suffer from. I am sort of one of them, you know. At this point, it's really just my husband, you know, and like Jake Gyllenhaal, theoretically, you know what I mean? Like, I don't actually want to fuck him because he's apparently not a great human, you know. But when it comes down to it, I don't want any penises unless they were made in a factory. Yeah. So I'm sorry that these are the men that you have attracted and chosen for whatever reason. You know, we pick people based on our fucking trauma, basically. Someone who's very close to me was, who I talked about last week, was dating this person on and off. And she realized, like, she'd chosen her dad. You know what I mean? Like a younger, obviously, version of her dad who also had, like, ADHD. And she was like, oh, I don't need more of that in my life. But it's hard. I know it's hard. You know, it's easy to say, like, fuck him, cut him off. But, like, you know, we all understand that it's hard. But I would block his number if I were you. It's just the best way to get rid of it. All right, here's some backstage fuckers feedback. Katie, when I was trying to decide if we were texting or IMing, said, sexted, you were dirty, digitally, get down. And Ashley said, I always know when Katie is about to message Gold because I can see it in her face on the video. My comedy partner Jordan and I had a bit in one of our shows that was exactly about this. It was a very casual text conversation, and then you fuck. And then you, like, 2 weeks later, you text, hey, and he's like, you're clingy, you need to back off. And then 2 weeks after that, he comes back. Hey. Yeah, I'm sorry. I think the only way that you can get over your feelings for this person is to just end it, walk away. Like, if you keep him around, it won't go away, and it'll just be harder. And he's really not worth your time. Sure, there may be a chance that in the future he wants to be more than just friends, but he doesn't deserve you. And that means that your intentions are not pure. Like, if you want to be friends, you want to be friends. But clearly you want to be friends with something else. So as to how do you protect yourself from being used, don't ignore the red flags, Barry says. That's key. Like, when you see those red flags, note them heavily. And know that, like, you're not gaslighting yourself. Those are red flags. I will tell you that when I was in a relationship with somebody who was married and they both had other partners, I didn't like it, mostly because their wife's other partners didn't like them and were sort of, like, openly mean to them. And their whole thing was like, well, I have no control over, she can be with who she wants to be with. And I was like, I wouldn't want to be with somebody who was mean to my partner. Like, what are you doing? Plus, just like the Google calendar of it all just was exhausting. I don't know how they did any of it. And then it ended up, like, getting really messy. They were lying to each other. And then it was terrible, which is not to say that all poly relationships are like that. Just this one was. And it was uncomfortable. Yeah, protect yourself and be really clear about your intentions, you know, because not only is it more fair for you, it's more fair for them. You know what I mean? Not that you need to take their feelings into consideration, but it's just, like, just good all around to just know what your intentions are and be clear. I'm so good at this.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
All right, here we go. Oh boy. Oh boy. Okay. Dear Daisy, I have a friend who is also a colleague of mine. We were friends first, and when a position opened up in our office, I recommended that he apply for it. I love having my friend at work with me, but I've got a problem. He has the worst, and I do mean worst, breath I've ever smelled. It's not like a thing that happened one time. Oh no. Anytime I'm talking to him and we're close enough that I can smell his breath, which is often because we will frequently get together to complain about dumb things people are doing, and that involves whispering, blee. Neither of us can hear worth a damn, and we both have auditory processing issues. So if we're going to whisper, it's got to be close and face to face. Oh God, his breath is bad enough that it will actually sting my nose sometimes. I'm torn between telling him about his breath so he can have some gum or mints handy and not wanting to embarrass him if this is something he can't help. I mean, he has ADHD and a horrible sleep schedule, so it could just be that he forgets to brush his teeth in the morning or skips it altogether if he's running super late. But what if he has halitosis or something, and by calling attention to it, I'm confirming his worst fears about what other people think of him? I also just super hate confrontation or doing slash saying anything ever that I think could upset someone, and that's my own trauma. So do I bite the bullet and tell my friend about his stinky breath, or do I keep that to myself? Sincerely, I legit hate how angsty I sound. Oh boy. This is one of my biggest fears, you know? That like I have really awful breath and nobody's telling me. Which is one of the good things about having a kid, because they will tell you. So far, so good. You know, he likes me to tell him a bedtime story directly into his ear. And I would imagine that, like, if I had horrible, horrible breath, he wouldn't want that. Tanner says put some Vicks in your nostrils. That's not a bad idea. Lanny says have some gum. And if you have a piece, offer him one. I think that's probably your safest bet. After I had Monty, my armpits smelled like Indian food, which was tough because every time I smelled my armpits, I wanted Indian food. I do stink on occasion, and especially in the winter months when I don't want to shower every day. I only shower every day in the summer because it's hot, but for some reason, showering is boring to me. Or something. I'm like, ugh. I mean, postpartum body odor is the worst slash best because it does smell like Indian food. And who doesn't love Indian food? I mean, lots of people don't love Indian food, but they're wrong. What else is there to say? I'm sorry. This was a weird one. Listen, I love you all. I'm so glad you're all here. I don't know what I would do without you. Okay, so I think I'm having an aneurysm in my head. Okay. I might be dying. So if you're listening to this and I'm already dead, make sure Monty turns out okay. And somebody, for the love of God, make sure that Kurt takes his medications and moves to Ireland. Okay. Oh, speaking of which, my father. So he's doing a residency, an artist residency in Ireland in October. And ever since that happened, he's been getting ads popping up on his Facebook for Ireland lawyers who are claiming that not only if you had a grandparent, but if you had a great grandparent who was Irish, you can get citizenship. So he's going to be there and he's going to throw himself at the mercy of the Irish people and beg for citizenship. And then we're going to get citizenship and we're fucking out. Goodbye. I know it's Catholic. I know it's very white, but that's okay. We'll move to the Protestant part. No, we won't. Oracle card. Is Ireland, like, very LGBTQIA safe? Is that a thing? Gotta be better than here. I mean, they do have healthcare. I also read today in a meme that in 1960, the billionaire, not that there were billionaires, but like the wealthy tax rate was 90%. And it's now the same rate that you and I pay. It's like 35. Oh, God. Barry, can you assure me that Trump won't win? Because I don't want to vote for Biden, but I feel guilty if he doesn't win. Okay, good. Thank you. Tell you what, if he forgives all student debt and gets us out of Israel before November, I will vote for Biden. Can anybody make that happen? You know what I mean. Gets us out of bed with Israel, out of Gaza. Okay. A wiggle. No whammies, no whammies, no whammies. You know what? I think it's this one. Ooh. Ooh, she looks very sleepy. I like her. This is Maya. She's the goddess of illusion. She looks very young. She's sort of like shrouded in a see-through thing. She's wearing a pink toga. She's pretty fair-skinned. Maya is the goddess of illusion. What is it about me that's so hard to grasp? I dance the universal energy, always moving, always active. You can never see me as I am veiled, and that veil is a byproduct of what I do, who I am. Go deeper. Don't get caught in the magnificence of my creativity. My creation is the illusion behind which lies the knowledge that all matter is energy, and all energy is one. Mythology. The Hindus and Buddhists of India worshipped Maya. Well, why is she so fucking light-skinned? I mean, this woman looks Swedish. As the material universe, as mother of creation, weaver of the web of life, and as illusion. She is the virgin or maid part of the three-part Kali, the three aspects being virgin, mother, and crone. Maya is also worshipped in Nepal, Tibet, Asia, and the Himalayas. Her special attributes are intelligence, creativity, water, and magic. She is depicted lifting the veils of earthly form to reveal the true nature of the universe. Meaning of the card. Maya moves subtly into your life to tell you to face your illusion. It is time to see what is so, what is true, what is real. Are you caught in a particular situation and can't seem to move because it is hard to see clearly? Were you dazzled by what a certain reality seemed to offer you and now discover nothing there? Have you been listening to the words people speak rather than what's behind the words? Maya says it is easy to get caught up in illusion. Wholeness is nurtured when you accept where you are and forgive yourself. Become aware of the illusion, then consciously lift the veils to experience the reality. Seeing the reality behind the illusion is what brings you power. Yeah, so, I mean, I think this is speaking to our middle letter writer. This man is an illusion, and he is showing you something that is not real, or like he represents the promise of something that isn't real. And maybe there's something that is hanging over your ability to sort of see the truth in general, you know? Maybe that's the key to not getting used, is like just lifting the veil of whatever is sort of shrouding you and allowing yourself to just be really honest and to see the truth and to see the world for what it is. Yeah. The group is guilting me into voting for Biden. We'll see, okay? I've become completely disillusioned, speaking of illusions, with our entire political system. And I just think we're in a horrible fucking loop. And I think things are getting worse, and they have been steadily getting worse for a long time. And it's not working. Amanda says, the illusion is easy to fall for because we want to believe, even though we know deep down it's not real. Yeah. Barry says, I did that in a relationship for 4.5 years as well. Yeah, so did I. I married somebody that I knew deep down I didn't want to. I know that Trump won't forgive student debt or get out of bed with Israel. Anyway, whatever. It's fine. I almost voted for Nader. And I couldn't bring myself to do it, even though I knew he would take, I knew Gore would win New York. But I got in the booth and I just couldn't bring myself to do it, which is probably what's going to happen in November for me. Just please don't let it be my birthday. Let's see. No, it's the day after my birthday. That'll be fun. I mean, I'm definitely not voting for the guy with the worm in his head. All right. Listen, now that we're all depressed, I'm going to say goodbye. I love you all so much. Dear Daisy is a production of Grab Bag Collab and is brought to you by the generous patronage of our members. Amanda Rossman is my editor. Amanda and Amber Hunt are my partners in crime. Music was composed and performed by Kurt Bloom. If you have an idea for a limited series podcast that you'd like to talk to GrabBag about, email us at grabbagcollab@gmail.com. Follow us on Instagram at GrabBagCollab. Follow me at Dear Daisy Pod and Daisy Egan. You can send me an anonymous email via Google Docs. The link is on our website, Patreon page, and social media. Remember that actual letters sent through the mail will take priority, and I'll send you something back when I get my shit together. So write to me old-fashioned-like at P.O. Box 10221, Cranston, Rhode Island 02910. Help us out by spreading the word about our podcasts, and remember to rest, drink water, and be kind.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.